Good morning, everybody. Isn't that a great song? I've decided to follow Jesus. I mean, that's a song that I think I first heard back in 1976. It was before I became a disciple. I was making that decision, and that song really helped in my mind to clarify what I wanted to do. And, you know, it's a song, that really speaks about not giving up, right? I'm going to do this thing regardless. And, he says, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me. I mean, do you think about that? You know, what would happen if none went with you? Would you still continue? I mean, that's what that song, we all sang that together, right? We would continue. Though none go with me, the world behind me, the cross before me. Sounds like there's going to be this, you know, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be an adversary out there trying to trip us up, right? It says, we're going to leave the world behind us, and we're going to keep the cross before us. It goes on and talks about carrying our cross until we see Jesus. And, that's the story. No turning back. You know, it's like, don't give up. You know, don't ever give up. And that's the message. That's the message of that song. It's also the message of Hebrews chapter 12. If you would turn to chapter 12, please. Before we go there, let's have a prayer. Father, we thank you so much for providing us a way to come to you. We thank you for Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins, as we just thought about during communion, Father. Thank you for his death. We thank you for his resurrection. We thank you for his blood that cleanses us from our sins. Father, I pray that as we consider these thoughts about not giving up, Father, help us to be inspired, help us to be motivated, help us to see ourselves as being with you, sitting on your throne, receiving the reward, Father. Help us to be inspired by that, to never give up. Pray that you be with me as I preach, as I deliver this message, that it would move people to follow you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We're going to keep coming back to this passage through the lesson today, but I'm going to pick up on 2 points here. I mean, basically, his goal is, he says, run with perseverance. He's basically giving you the reasons. Run with perseverance. Perseverance. Don't give up. Perseverance just means I'm going to keep going regardless, doesn't it? Right? Don't give up. And he says, you know, these things so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's the trap, isn't it? Because it's a marathon. You know, what happens in a marathon? You get weary. You grow weary. And you know, basically, the whole idea is the Hebrew writer is encouraging us to not give up. Okay? So that slogan, don't give up, don't ever go give up, have you heard that before somewhere? Any of you? That's the slogan of the V Foundation for cancer research, right? Okay? And we have a picture of the guy who made that thing famous. Anybody recognize this guy? Okay? This is Jimmy Valvano. He was a basketball coach of a notable basketball team. We'll go unnamed, but you know who that is. And, we all know who he is. Now let's look at, you know, what made him initially famous. And Richard, this will be short and merciful, so don't worry. But, you know, there was a very famous game in 1983 in which his team improbably won the national championship. And, it was awesome, wasn't it? All right, so then we have another picture of what happened at the end of that game, where he's running around looking for somebody to hug. You know, the thrill of victory. You know, this is what all that work had culminated in for him and for his team. And so the thrill of victory. And then the last picture, of course, Jimmy Valvano cutting down the nets. I don't know how many of you were at the SEC in Raleigh. Quite a few of you, I know. And Ben talked about this, about the fact that they used to have a practice session every year in which they had no balls on the court, They did no basketball. All they did was practice cutting down the nets. He wanted them to visualize what it was going to be like, to start believing that that was going to happen for them one day. And it did. Okay? Visualize the goal. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Hebrews talks about that. But what I really want to talk about now, all that's very inspiring. In fact, yeah, I mean, that's been called one of the most inspiring events of the 20th century. You know, people that care nothing about NC State basketball. Well, I said I wasn't going to mention it, but I mentioned it. People who say they don't even care, people who don't even care about basketball were inspired by that moment. They repeatedly came back from behind, trailing in the tournament. Something that most people don't know, that team set another record that year. They played 10 games against teams that sometime during the season were ranked number one in the nation. That's never happened before or since, not even close. They won 6 of those, right? So, that, you know, four of those 10 games were against Virginia with Ralph Sampson. 3 of them were against UNC with James Worthy, Sam Perkins, and Mike Jordan all at the same time. And so they had to beat them, and then there was Olajuwon and Drexler, and they beat some pretty good teams, and they did it more than once. Okay, so that's all my basketball. I'm done with basketball now. Y'all can, you know, you can relax now, Richard. But, you know, all that's inspiring, but that's not what inspires me about Jim Valvano. Let's go to this is him delivering a speech at the ESPY Awards in 1993, 10 years later. The man you see in this picture would die 8 weeks later of cancer. He literally dragged himself out of his deathbed to come give this speech. His wife followed him around on the plane and the airport and everywhere he went with a trash bag to collect, because he was basically throwing up everywhere, on the medication, trying to beat this cancer that he was not going to beat. But he got up off his deathbed to do something significant. He was launching in this speech the V Foundation for Cancer Research. You know, he was not giving up. And you know, I think, you know, we've got cancer survivors in this congregation. And I don't know, but it's possible that you owe your life to that research. You know, so he accomplished something in the last days of his life. And that, you know, what inspires us about people, when he went through some very hard things. And, you know, lots of people go through hard things. Everybody goes through hard things, right? What inspires me about him is how he went through it. Okay, it was the fact that he went through it in a way that, you know, he would not give up. I mean, it inspires us because, you know, we have to make that decision. Am I going to give up? You know, we see him, and we see here's somebody who didn't give up. So if he can make it through that, I can make it through what I'm going through. Well, we're going to talk about some more people like that as we go along. But you know, he had impact. And he ran with perseverance his race. But we're going to look back at our lives and think about what are the hard things that we go through. But you know, think about, okay, so I was appointed as an elder 10 years ago. I don't know how many of you knew that. 10 years ago, and I want you to think about what's happened in your life in the last 10 years. How many of you were disciples 10 years ago? Okay, look around. Quite a few, not everybody. You know, there's a lot of people here who were not, okay? But 10 years, a lot has happened in 10 years, right? 10 years ago, our churches were going through a crisis, okay? May 2003, we appointed 11 elders in the Atlanta Church of Christ. And we had to go back to our core convictions. What are we here for? What are we trying to do? That was a very healthy thing for us to do. So think about, okay, why do I do what I do? What is this all about anyway? Okay, and basically it came back down to, I have decided to follow Jesus, right? That's what it was all about. We said, I'm not gonna quit. I'm not turning back. Though none go with me, still I'm going to follow. And, you know, the sad thing is that we all know somebody who didn't continue to follow, don't we? You know, there's some people, there's all kinds of situations. You know, some people left God completely. Okay, said, okay, if this can happen, I don't believe in God, or I'm not going to follow God, or well, I don't know what they said, but, you know, things like that. There were some people who did that. There were some people who just basically, you know, their life today is in a shambles because they didn't continue to follow Jesus in the way that they had originally said they would. You know, some people just lost their first love. They said, you know, I'm just, you know, just kind of pulled back. And some people just, you know, became entangled in other things in their life. You know, the thorny soil thing. There's a lot of, there was some fallout. There were some people that didn't follow. But we said, though none go with me, right? And of course, a lot of people did go with us, didn't they? Amen. You know, that's awesome. But you know, life is hard. Why do people turn back? Because you know, none of us is immune. You know, we like to talk a tough game, but we're up against a tough adversary. And if we don't stay plugged into God, stay plugged into His Word, we won't make it. You know, we can't just sing that song and think I'm tough. It won't happen to me, right? Because Satan's tougher than you are. It's tougher than I am. But with the Holy Spirit and with staying close to God, you know, that we don't have that to worry about. We have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about it, if you know what I mean. We have to deal with it. Okay. So there's lots of things that make life tough. You know, sometimes it's, it's things, somebody's mistreated us. We've been hurt. You know, those kinds of things. Anybody here ever had that happen to you? You know, sometimes it's hard to go on from that. Some of us, you know, have trouble that's of our own making, right? Sometimes it's the consequences of sin. We got ourselves into a hole, and now what? Do we want to dig ourselves out, or we dig deeper? You know, are we willing to climb out of that hole? So sometimes it's our own sin. Sometimes it's just bad choices we made. Sometimes we spent too much money, you know, on stuff, you know, had to have that big screen TV, you know, had to have that bigger house, that bigger car, had to, you know, whatever it is. You know, sometimes we spent money we didn't have. Sometimes, you know, we've made some mistakes in life. And now it's like, okay, what do I do? Because this is where I am. What do I do from here? And sometimes we can turn back when we get into that state. Sometimes it can be a financial setback due to health, due to medical bills, due to the car broke down, due to all kinds of crazy things, you know. Life, there are problems in life. There are struggles and challenges. And basically, health, let's talk about health for a minute. You know, the truth of the matter is, unless Jesus comes back first, your body and my body is going to fail at some point, right? There's going to be, you know, some people have said life always ends badly, okay? And, you know, but we're going to talk about some things that sort of mitigate that, okay, in a minute. But the point is that there's going to be hard things. You know, and life for Jim Valvano got tough there at the end. That last year was tough, okay? But he persevered. But those things can sometimes cause people to turn back. So look over in John chapter 16. Jesus talked about this. And we're going to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's keep our ears fixed on what he said, right? Okay. John 16, verse 33. He says, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It says in this life, it's not going to be easy street all the time. You know, some of us are experiencing trouble today as we speak, as we sit here in this room. Some of us are, some of us are, maybe we've had it in the past. Some of us are, you know, it hasn't happened yet. Okay, I'll prepare you. You know, think about it, be prepared in advance. It's going to come. It's not all easy. Okay? So, hard times are inevitable. Jesus said so. You can't have peace. He said that too, right? But you're going to have trouble. You can have peace and trouble. So the trick is, you know, it's kind of like what he said, what the Hebrew writer said, set your eyes on Jesus and keep your eye on the goal. It's kind of like Jim Valvano said, you know, visualize cutting down the nets. Remember what's keeping you going. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. We'll look at that again. But let me tell you a secret. You know, quitting is not going to make your life easier. You know, if anything, it's going to make it worse. Because what does Satan do? Satan's going to take you to hell, and he's going to abuse you every step of the way. You know, he's going to make it worse and worse. Okay, your life is not going to get better outside of God. Much more to the point, with God you can have peace. God can help you. You can have that goal to visualize, to look forward to, and you can have God's power in your life to get you through things. So quitting is not going to make your life easier. Okay, And, you know, you can't just evade trouble on your own. You know, think, okay, well, I'll just, you know, take the path of least resistance. I'll avoid challenges. It's not gonna happen. You know, it's not gonna happen. You're gonna have challenges in or out of God. Do you want God's help or not? You know, bottom line. But we can overcome with Jesus. That's what he says. I've come overcome the world, but take heart. You know, you can have peace in this world. So James 1, again, talking about our struggles or our challenges, says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, starting in verse 2. James 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, you know, the testing of your faith produces something good, doesn't it? You know, Hebrews says, run the race with perseverance. What does the testing of your faith produce? Perseverance. Okay? So, you know, there's something about when you're being tested, you can consider it pure joy, right? And, yeah, that doesn't come natural to me. I don't know about you. But I can read about it here, and it can at least, if not in my emotions, at least in my mind, I can say something good's coming of this, right? And I can look back in the mirror at the days gone by and see that good things did come from it, right? So just to remind myself that good things are going to come. You know, God uses these situations to show his glory and his power, these challenges. John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3 says, and as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. God used the man's blindness to bring glory to himself, to help people to see the power and the glory and the majesty and the might of God. Okay? And we're reading about it now almost 2,000 years later, right? I mean, How about that for making a mark on history? You know, how many of his siblings that weren't blind, if he had them, you know, made that kind of mark on history, right? But you know, a lot of times when you would say, God, please find someone else to glorify you yourself with. You know, I don't want to volunteer for this. But you know, it ends up in something wonderful. For this man, it ended up in a miracle that we're still talking about. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. We're talking here, this is Paul writing, okay? The Apostle Paul. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul begged God three times to take this, whatever it was, away from him. Can you relate? Anybody here begged God a few times for something? You know, and sometimes, the standard thing is sometimes he says not now, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says yes, right? And we don't know if he's saying not now or if he's saying no. But in Paul's case, it was a no. And yet he says, but my power is made perfect in weakness. He says, I have a different plan from the one you have, and my plan is better than yours. God is glorified through your weaknesses. God has glorious plans for you. Okay. When you're being challenged, when you see these hard times coming, it's an honor to be used to glorify God. Think of that. God has chosen you to demonstrate to the rest of the world his glory and his power and might. So you know, I don't know where you are today. Many of you, maybe someone here is going through a tough time, but you know, maybe you haven't cast your anxieties on God. Maybe you haven't you're not trusting God, or you're not looking for how is this going to glorify God. You know, I'm a shepherd. That's what an elder is. One of the things an elder is a shepherd. And one of the things shepherds need to do and are commanded and taught, expected by God to do is to help people who are, go find the wandering sheep, to bind up the wounded, to bring them back, to help them, to feed them, help them get strong. That's what I'm here for. That's what all of the elders here are here for. I want to keep you first off from putting yourself into situations like that. Some of those things we do to ourselves. But also, when those things do happen to you, to help you to navigate those waters. Maybe you feel like your situation's hopeless. Maybe you feel like maybe some of you have wandered from God. You've stopped trying to follow Jesus. If you want to come back, you can come back. And if you want to come back, I am devoted, I'm committed, I will help you come back. I will do that. All of us elders will do that. All of us will do that. That's what we're here for. So you can come back. Okay, and you can get back into the whole thing of glorifying God and helping God helping you through your struggles. So we will be there. We can't fight the battle for you, but we'll be there in your corner and we will help you. Okay, so but sometimes what we need is to be inspired. We need something to help me have hope. And what is it that inspires us? Hope is what inspires us, that there's something in the future that's going to help this all be worth it. Okay, Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders." He talks about a great cloud of witnesses. If you look, about chapter 11 that he's just gotten through, right? Chapter 11, he talks about all these phenomenal examples of faith. And he talks about the fact that these guys endured because of their hope, because of their faith, okay? And that's the cloud of witnesses that can inspire us, okay? And so there's a faithful witness that inspires us to persevere. So what I want to do right now is to talk about some people that inspire me, okay? We read from Hebrews 11, it's called the Faith Hall of Fame. But I want to, most of us are not Hebrews, right? Hebrews are Jews. Most of us are Gentiles, aren't we? So what I want to do is talk about some Gentiles who inspire me. So we're going to write our own book here this morning. We're going to write the book of Gentiles, all right? So I'm going to show you some Gentiles who inspire me through their struggles, have continued to do good. Okay? So let's write the book of Gentiles. Okay? So first Gentile. This guy? Of course, you're looking at Abram Rowell. Abram Rowell is a man who inspires me. Abram has been fighting a brave battle against sickle cell anemia. I don't know if you knew that. It's a very serious disease. He endures pain from time to time. He's had hospitalization. He's had recent surgeries for hip replacement. And just to give you an idea of where this guy's at, So I show up in Raleigh at the SEC. I walk into the building, and guess who opens the door for me? Less than a week after his hip replacement surgery, okay? And big smile on his face, he's not interested in, he's not concerned about himself. He's concerned about welcoming me. He's not even from Raleigh. He's welcomed me to Raleigh, Abram, just a great example. But that's part one of the story. Let's see part two of the story. All right. So let me tell you what this is about, if you don't know. Abram, last weekend, was elected as the prom king for his high school. And I'm told there was like a 2-minute standing ovation when it was announced. The teachers were in tears. Abram has moved a lot of hearts. People love, they're inspired by the way that he has persevered. He sat in a wheelchair for 2 years almost. Okay. And now Abram, let's just show him. Stand up for him. Okay. Isn't that awesome? Brother, you inspire me. Thank you. Okay. That's a Gentile who inspires me. Okay, let's see the next one. My wife is running the remote, and so I had to sweet talk her to actually click the button on this one. But you know, she doesn't like her face being up there, but it's going to be up there for just a couple of minutes. But you know, you all know this wonderful sister. She's my wife, isn't she gorgeous? You got that happy face. Sherry has her physical struggles too. You know, she's limited by pain and fatigue. You know, we have to keep her from going too far and, you know, expending herself too much. But she's a trooper. So we're at the SEC. You know, there's something like 4,000 people at the SEC. I think she knows 1,000 of them. And she wanted to fellowship with every one of them. And in fact, you know, I think she's Facebook friends with most of them, you know. But, you know, I mean, she gets energized and enthused about the people that she loves, her brothers and her sisters. You know, she puts herself out. She extends herself beyond. I'm constantly having to rein her in, say it's time to go get some sleep, you know. So we couldn't stay out there and party with them in the on the block party all night afterwards, you know. But you know, overcoming her physical limitations to glorify God, she's an inspiration to me. Amen. Okay, Sherry, you can click the clicker now. Okay, this is a picture of a picture, so I apologize, it's not real clear. But how many of you know the brother that's sitting in the middle? A few of you know him. Not many. That's Bernie Ospall. Some of you have heard me mention him before. Bernie was baptized about a month after I was, back in 1976. He was an engineering student, got a job as an engineer at CP&L, and then left his engineering career to go into the ministry, become a campus minister in the 80s. And then while he was in the ministry, he contracted Lou Gehrig's disease. This was in the latter half of the 1980s. He lived for 20 years with Lou Gehrig's disease. Now, I don't know if you know what Lou Gehrig's disease is, but basically you progressively lose control of all your muscles. You can't move. Eventually, people die from suffocation because they can't breathe. But it took him 20 years. And so he's in a wheelchair. He can hardly talk. In the latter years, he was living in Greensboro. And he had their minister. He talked to his minister. He said, "I want you to take me to Walmart and set me outside the store so I can invite people to church." And he tried to do that, but he couldn't talk. People couldn't understand him. So he couldn't engage a person in a conversation because it took him a couple of minutes just to get a phrase out. So he says, okay, that's not working. So he says, okay, talks to the preacher, says, "You go find the people and bring them to me." During the last 3 months of his life, there were three people baptized that he studied the Bible with because of that. Bernie is one of those people that, you know, you say, he's going to be in heaven. You know, I want to be where he is. You know, it's like he inspires me. I want to go be where he is. That's an inspiring brother. Okay, he's the only example that's not in our own midst. But I had to bring him in. Okay, so the next slide. I think you guys know this couple. I go back a long ways with this couple too. Sherry and I met Gary on January 28th, 1979. And the reason I remember it so precisely is because that was the day after our wedding. You know, we went to church in Columbia, South Carolina at the St. Andrews Road Church of Christ. And guess who was preaching? It was Gary. So, and since that time, I keep turning up in his life like a bad penny. Okay? But Gary's been through some hard things. You know, and it's a series. It's not just one hard thing. But, you know, the more you know about Gary, the more inspired you will be. When I first moved here, they opened up their home, and I lived with them for a couple of months while we sold our house and got our kids through a school year in Florida. So, you know, you're sitting there in his house. You get to see him get up at 5 in the morning every morning and go into that desk and study his Bible, you know, and read and pray. You get to see him live out his Christian life at home. That's an inspiring thing. And, you know, the kinds of things that they do today that, you know, just kind of go unsung would amaze you if you knew. But just an inspiring couple, and love those folks. Love you to death, Gary and Christy. And y'all inspire me. Thank you. Amen. Okay. All right. Next one. I think you know this guy. Okay. It's one of our cancer survivors. And you know, a lot of us have, you know, we have our reasons why we don't want to serve more than we do. He just doesn't have any reasons. He doesn't think of reasons. He just serves. So Rick, you know, he takes care of our CR ministry, chemical recovery, which is a tough thing. Every time we have a teaching rotation, there's a teacher needed. He and Bridget come out there and teach. And by the way, Bridget's a trooper out there, you know, doing these things with a broken foot, right? You know, but just an inspiration to me. It's not just the fact that they go through something hard, but it's the way they do it. The smile on their face to say, what can I do to serve? You know, I mean, that's awesome. You know, I know he's in here somewhere. Where are you, Rick? Thank you, Rick. Okay, so then we have the next example. You know this couple, and you know George is a trooper. You know, sometimes you see George come in with those sunglasses on. It's not because he wants to be a movie star. Okay. George is, you know, he suffers with migraine headaches, and he has some health issues that limit him, and yet he's a family group leader. You know, he serves every way that he can, and, you know, with a great heart, and just wanting to do more. Again, inspires me, not because of the struggle, but because of the way he goes through the struggle. Amen. Okay, so, okay, George. All right. This is going to go a little bit long today. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to pull it in, but I can't curtail this too much. Okay. So the next one, y'all recognize the picture from our midweek announcements, I'm sure. I said I've got to have that animated GIF. So the Women of Strength. Okay. For those who may not know, the Women of Strength are a group of women who maybe have some physical ailments or some difficulties. And yet they get together and they pray and they serve, they love. You know, their prayers are the engine of the church. You know, they're women of strength because God takes their weakness and turns it into a strength. Okay, and you know, I could go down the list here. I ought to. You know, so I'll just give you a couple. You know, I guess it was yesterday. One of our elders made the comment and says, you know, Myrna Daniels is going to be in heaven. I just hope I get to be there with her. You know, just a godly woman. You know. So, I mean, you look at the people in that group I hate that I'm not going through all the names here, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, the Women of Strength, and then you know, so just like in Hebrews 11:32, we will have a Gentiles 11:32, and it says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about all the rest." So. but yeah, I do have a picture. Yeah. So I'm looking at the same picture you're looking at, just last week instead of this week. But you know, you look around the room. These are people who've not given up. Okay, we're still here. We're still in the fight. And so that inspires me because I know we're all going through tough things. And yet, you know, I could go through a long list of people. You know, I'd love to talk about the Anglins. I could talk about the Anglins for a while. You know, I could talk about the votes. You know, I mean, look at, you know, you see Mark up here running around setting up mics and fixing stuff and running the soundboard, and you know, they have their challenges too. But just a smile on his. Have you ever seen him without a smile on his face? You know, big smile on his face. You know, you got the Brands, Joel and Selena. You know, love that couple. Love those guys. Served in our youth ministry for years, and there they are. Okay, so yeah, just a great brother and sister. Encourage them. Love up on them. They inspire me. I could name others, but I'm already late. So let's go back to Hebrews 12. I want to, you know, hit a couple things here. Hebrews 12, chapter 12, starting in verse 1, he gives us four things that that can help us to persevere. First thing he says is to throw off every hindrance, everything that hinders. What are the things that hinder? We just get too bogged down in other stuff, right? We need to just not fill our schedules up with activities and television shows and, you know, all the stuff that doesn't advance the kingdom. You know, as Mike Rowell shared with the brothers, you know, if you've got 10 things to do in a day and time to do four of them, make sure you do the four that advance the kingdom of God. Okay, so throw off the things that hinder. Okay, second thing is throw off sin. And, you know, obviously we can't glorify God if we're in, you know, embroiled in sin. We got to get rid of the sin. We got to be holy, like Richard talked about this morning. Okay, the third thing is fix our eyes on Jesus. I have decided to follow who? Jesus, right? And just to look at, you know, he endured the cross. Most of us are not going to have to endure a cross, right? We have to endure some things, though. But we look at, if he could endure that, then I can endure what I've got. He's really being pretty merciful to me because I'm the one that deserves the cross. Okay, and then finally, visualize the goal, you know, for the joy set before him. Okay, and for us, what's the joy set before us? You know, Jesus persevered because of the joy set before him. So this is Revelation chapter 4 that Richard talked about this morning. He read it for us. So I just showed you a picture of it. Okay, this is the throne room of God. It's an artist's reconstruction. Nobody's been there yet, to my knowledge. You know, but it says in Revelation 3:21, says, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So that was the joy set before him. It was sitting, going back to sit on his Father's throne. And it says that we should look forward to the joy set before us in the same way. So Revelation 12, we're going to wrap up here real quick. It says, I'm sorry, Revelation 21. I'm dyslexic here. Revelation 21, starting verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So, beautiful picture. I mean, do you visualize that? I mean, Hebrews says we ought to. We ought to be looking at the joy set before us, just like Jesus did, looking at the reward at the end. Chapter 22, verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be their city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will no longer be night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light, and they will reign, not just for a little while. They will reign forever and ever. Here's how the writer C.S. Lewis visualized it. He wrote a series of books, I'm sure, you know, the Narnia Chronicles. At the end of the last battle, here's how he visualized when we get to heaven. As he spoke, he not only looked to them like a lion, but things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last, they were beginning chapter 1 of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. So don't give up. Brothers and sisters, don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Sherry is going to come up too with her granddaughter. Amen. I don't know if you know this. Maybe some of you probably do, but I've learned it well the past 2.5 years, which is being an elder is not an easy thing. There are challenges in being an elder. There are joys in being an elder, but being an elder is not an easy thing. And I think the hardest time I know of ever to be an elder was when Alan was appointed an elder in 2003 and 2004. And he remained faithful and remained an elder and continued to serve and has continued to serve for 10 years. And so that is just an awesome thing. And let's give it up again for Alan.
I just wanted to share with you that it was almost 7.5 years ago that Alan, actually it was about 8 years ago, Alan started having conversations with Roxanne and I about me considering being an elder. And I can remember at that time all that was going on and just how he mentored me and really encouraged me to take that step. And it is a great joy to celebrate 10 years of service, his 10 years of service, and share this time with him. And his message was so encouraging. Brother, we'd like to give you this gift. It really is interesting. You mentioned C.S. Lewis. That's one of the books that we're giving him. We truly are blessed to have such a great couple, to have such maturity, such love. You can see the love that Alan and Sherry has for each of us. Amen? Let's pray, then I'll have a quick announcement and you will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we are so truly blessed to call you our Father, our Lord. We're so truly blessed to be in this race, the one that you set out before us. Father, help us persevere. Help us to hold on to the faith that you put into us and into our hearts. Help us to encourage one another daily. Help us to lift each other's arms up. Help us to recognize the people that are great examples of service and faith in our congregation and follow their example. Father, I ask that you would help Alan and Sherry in their work to continue to be so useful and productive in your kingdom. And we thank you for them. Today, we hope that we have pleased you with our worship, for you truly are an awesome God. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.